Mind in Society. Written by Vilfredo Pareto. Narrated by Daniel Natal. Copyright 2024, Natal Publishing. Volume 1, Non-Logical Conduct. Chapter 1, The Scientific Approach. Human society is the subject of many researches. Some of them constitute specialized disciplines: law, political economy, political history, the history of religions, and the like. Others have not yet been distinguished by special names. To the synthesis of them all, which aims at studying human society in general, we may give the name of sociology. That definition is very inadequate. It may perhaps be improved upon, but not much. For after all, of none of the sciences, not even of the several mathematical sciences, have we strict definitions, nor can we have. Only for purposes of convenience do we divide the subject matter of our knowledge into various parts, and such divisions are artificial and change in course of time. Who can mark the boundaries between chemistry and physics, or between physics and mechanics? And what are we to do with thermodynamics? If we locate that science in physics, it will fit not badly there. If we put it with mechanics, it will not seem out of place. If we prefer to make a separate science of it, no one surely can find fault with us. Instead of wasting time trying to discover the best classification for it, it will be the wiser part to examine the facts with which it deals. Let us put names aside and consider things. In the same way, we have something better to do than to waste our time deciding whether sociology is or is not an independent science, whether it is anything but the philosophy of history under a different name, or to debate at any great length the methods to be followed in the study of sociology. Let us keep to our quest for the relationships between social facts, and people may then give to that inquiry any name they please. And let knowledge of such relationships be obtained by any method that will serve. We are interested in the end, and much less are not at all interested in the means by which we attain it. In considering the definition of sociology just above, we found it necessary to hint at one or two norms that we intend to follow in these volumes. We might do the same in other connections as occasion arises. On the other hand, we might very well set forth our norms once and for all. Each of those procedures has its merits and its defects. Here we prefer to follow the second. The principles that a writer chooses to follow may be put forward in two different ways. He may in the first place ask that his principles be accepted as demonstrated truths. If they are so accepted, all their logical implications must also be regarded as proved. On the other hand, he may state his principles as mere indications of one course that may be followed among the many possible. In that case, any logical implication which they may contain is in no sense demonstrated in the concrete, but is merely hypothetical, hypothetical in the same manner and to the same degree as the premises from which it has been derived. It will therefore often be necessary to abstain from drawing such inferences. The deductive aspects of the subject will be ignored, and relationships be inferred from the facts directly. Let us consider an example. Suppose Euclid's postulate that a straight line is the shortest distance between two points is set before us as a theorem. We must give battle on the theorem. For if we concede it, the whole system of Euclidean geometry stands demonstrated, and we have nothing left to set against it. But suppose, on the contrary, the postulate be forward as a hypothesis. We are no longer called upon to contest it. Let the mathematician develop the logical consequences that follow from it. If they are in accord with the concrete, we will accept them. If they seem to be not in such accord, we will reject them. Our freedom of choice has not been fettered by any anticipatory concession. Considering things from that point of view, our geometries, non-Euclidean geometries, are possible, and we may study them without in the least surrendering our freedom of choice in the concrete. If before proceeding with their researches, mathematicians had insisted upon deciding whether or not the postulate of Euclid corresponded to concrete reality, geometry would not exist even today. And that observation is of general bearing. All sciences have advanced when, instead of quarreling over first principles, people have considered results. The science of celestial mechanics developed as a result of the hypothesis of the law of universal gravitation. Today we suspect that that attraction may be something different from what it was once thought to be. But even if, in the light of new and better observations of fact, our doubts should prove well-founded, the results attained by celestial mechanics on the whole would still stand. They would simply have to be retouched and supplemented. Profiting by such experience, we are here setting out to apply to the study of sociology the methods that have proved so useful in the other sciences. We do not posit any dogma as a premise to our research, and our statement of principles serves merely as an indication of that course among the many courses that might be chosen which we elect to follow. Therefore, anyone who joins us along such a course by no means renounces his right to follow some other. From the first pages of a treatise on geometry, it is the part of the mathematician to make clear whether he is expounding the geometry of Euclid, or let us say the geometry of Lobachevsky. But that is just a hint, and if he
Sample complete. Ready to continue?